that Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, they just disagree on how.
We're gonna get across that wasteland, and we're gonna do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, 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 and welcome. This is episode 43 of Talk the Plank, a Pittsburgh Pirates podcast on SB Nation's Bucks Dugouts. I'm Nathan Hirsch. Tonight, going solo, and I'm here today to talk about the Pirates and their sad, sad team that is this season. Pretty much before the series started, I boldly predicted that Pirates win 3 out of 4 games. They did not win 3 games. They lost all 4 games and were swept in pretty heartbreaking fashion in each game. They found a different way to lose. Just going back to Thursday, Pirates got out to a nice 3-0 lead in the first inning, gave up 5 runs in the 7th to go down 5-3. Were able to come back in heroic fashion thanks to a Michael Perez single in the 9th to tie it at 5. And then in the 11th inning, William Defoe could not handle a routine pop-up at second base. And the ball dropped, and the Cubs won 6-5. That was Thursday. I will say, though, Thursday, really great game from Mitch Keller. Probably his best start as a Pirate. 6 innings pitched. No earned runs, 6 hits, 8 strikeouts, 0 walks. That was huge. But in the 7th inning, Chad Cole just blew it. Only could get 1 out, gave up 5 earned runs on 6 hits, 2 home runs, and the Cubs took the lead and eventually won that game in 11 innings. So Pirates lost that one. Once again, these Cubs are not good at all. They're one of the worst teams in the National League since trading all of their good players away at the trade deadline. So these were some pretty terrible losses for the Pirates, even by their standards. But yeah, they lost that game. On Friday, another 6-5 loss. This time, the Pirates were down 5-0, and everything seemed pretty terrible and dire at the moment. But the Pirates were able to scratch themselves back into the game. Anthony Alford hit 2 home runs. Hoy Park hit a home run. They were able to tie the game at 5. And then after tying the game at 5 in the top of the 6th inning, they immediately gave the lead right back thanks to a Cubs home run in the bottom of the 6th inning. And that was the score, 6-5. The Pirates lost that game as well. So 2 games so far, 2 heartbreaking losses in 2 different ways. In the 3rd game, the Pirates lost 7-6. In this game, the Pirates were able to get out to a nice 1-0 lead in the first, thanks to a Yoshi Susugo home run. One thing I was right about, I will say, before the series on last podcast, I predicted that Yoshi would hit a few home runs, and he did. Hit a home run Saturday, gave the Pirates a 1-0 lead. Pirates were then trailing 3-1 in the 4th, came back, took a 6-3 lead in the 5th. It looked as though, okay, 6-3 lead, they're going to hold on to this one. But in the bottom of the 9th inning, with a 6-4 lead, the Pirates gave up 3 runs to lose 7-6. Chris Stratton got the loss in that one. His first loss of the year. He's now 5-1 on the season. I jinxed that when I pointed out the fact that he was 5-0 on the season for a team such as the Pirates. He's now 5-1. The ERA is up to 3 88. And another just terrible, terrible, heartbreaking loss. And that was that. And then the Sunday game. This was probably the craziest game. Another home run from Yoshi in the first inning. That was good. But then in the bottom of the second, Cubs responded with two solo home runs of them for themselves. But in the top of the third, Brian Reynolds hit a grand slam to give the Pirates a 5-2 lead. At that point, you're like, okay, 5-2 lead, Pirates are winning. Maybe today's the day that they can hold a lead and win a game. Nope. In the bottom of the third, Matt Duffy responded with a grand slam himself, which at the time gave the Pirates, I mean the Cubs, sorry, gave them a 7-5 lead. Pirates were able to come back, though. They eventually tied the game at 7 in the fifth inning, thanks to a wild pitch. That's how the Pirates were able to tie the game. And then in the sixth, they were actually able to take the lead, thanks to Jacob Stallings' infield single. But in the bottom of the seventh inning, the Cubs hit yet another grand slam. This time it was Frank Schwindel, who, I'm not going to lie to you, never heard of in my life, but this season he's been really, really good. He's hitting .338, 11 home runs, an OPS above 1,000, so he's been great for the Cubs. But he gave the Cubs the go-ahead grand slam. This was the first game in MLB history where there were three go-ahead grand slams, which saw that, and it was, that was pretty crazy. History was made in today's crazy, crazy game. But it just goes to show, I mean, especially on the pitching side, the Pirates just are not good. Offensively, they came. They came into play. They scored five runs, six runs, and eight runs. So they look great with the bats this weekend. Brian Reynolds continues to be awesome. He had four hits on Sunday. He's hitting .301, .384, .518. Hit his 22nd home run of the year. Brian Hayes returned in this series. He had a double in the Sunday game. Yoshi, as I mentioned, had a few home runs. Colin Moran, he had a home run in the one game. But just pitching-wise, a true disaster. In the Sunday game, Will Crow, three innings pitched, seven earned runs. Just absolutely awful. Sam Howard got the loss in the Sunday game, gave up two earned runs, was only able to get one out. And the one out he did get was on probably one of the best plays you'll see an outfielder make this season, Ben Gamel. Parallel to the ground, a diving catch into left field on the warning track, no less. Kicked up a ton of dirt. And that was actually a key play in the game, though, because the Pirates clearly had the runner running back to first base doubled up, but Colin Moran could not handle the throw. The inning was extended, and eventually the grand slam was hit. So just a terrible series all around. The Pirates are now 48-89 on the season, and they actually passed the Texas Rangers. They've kind of been neck and neck with the Rangers for the third overall pick in next year's draft. The Pirates are a half game worse than the Rangers, who won Sunday. So Pirates have the third pick right now. They're only, let's see, 3.5 games behind the Diamondbacks for the second pick. And the first pick still pretty far off. The Pirates are, let's see, 5.5 games up on the Orioles. The Orioles are probably going to get that first overall pick. Run differential-wise, the Pirates are one of two teams with a run differential of minus 200 or more. They're at minus 209. The Orioles are at minus 233. So Pirates are slightly worse than the Diamondbacks, who are minus 190. But, yeah. At the major league level, just a pretty terrible series overall. Just to not be able to win one of those games when all four of those games were extremely winnable. They just lost in the most unique ways. It was actually kind of funny if you think about it, all the different ways that they found a loss against the Cubs team, which I need to remind you again, they suck. The Cubs are terrible. The Cubs are 63-75, so I mean their record is, I mean, it's just averagely bad, but as a roster, the Cubs are not good at all. And the Pirates were not able to get one win. It's actually funny. The Cubs have actually won 6 straight games, which that's pretty funny to me. The Pirates have lost 6 straight games themselves, and the Pirates have actually now lost, let's see, 8 of their last 9. And I was talking to Jake on the last podcast about, you know, the Pirates are pretty much cemented in the top 4 when it comes to their draft position for next season. So tanking isn't really super necessary at this point in the season. You actually want to see the team win some games. And I thought, schedule-wise, after the White Sox, the Pirates would – the schedule's pretty light. I thought they could win some games against the Cubs. That didn't happen. 6-game road trip in Chicago alone. The Pirates lost all 6 games. But moving forward, they return home Monday, and they will play the Detroit Tigers for 3. The Monday game is at 1:35 p.m. It will be Bryce Wilson, and he will be facing off against Tarik Skubal, who pretty good this year, 8-12, 4.26 ERA, 150 strikeouts. Maybe not pretty good, but he's not a bad pitcher. Skubal will be probably pretty tough for the Pirates, a tough left-hander. We'll see if the Pirates are able to do anything. The Pirates do not have a listed starter for Tuesday, but they will be facing off against Willie Peralta, who 3.68 ERA this season. He's only, let me see here, he started 13 games, 66 innings pitched. He's given up 11 home runs, so we'll see what the Pirates are able to do against him. And then the final game of this Detroit series, Keller gets the ball again. Mitch Keller, who, as I mentioned, one pretty solid bright spot in this series was Mitch Keller's performance. But like a broken record, I've been saying this all season long, we'll see if he's able to maybe one time string together 2 straight good starts. He has still not been able to do that. 2 out of his last 3, though, have been good. His last start before this past Thursday start, he gave up 7 runs to the Cardinals. But the start before that, he pitched 5 scoreless against the Cardinals. But we'll see. Will Mitch Keller be able to string together a second straight good, solid start? That's the question. We'll see him attempt to do that on Wednesday, and he will be opposing Matt Manning, kind of like Mitch Keller, a pretty highly touted starting pitcher. He's only 23, but he has struggled this season. He is 3-6 with a 6.29 ERA and 44 earned runs, 48 total runs over 63 innings pitched in 13 starts. Walks have been an issue for him. 21 walks, only 35 strikeouts. So Pirates will have a chance to win on Wednesday, pitching matchup-wise at least. So we'll see about that. And then after the Detroit series, next weekend, the Pirates will host the Washington Nationals for 3 games, and I'm actually going to one of those games. I've barely gone to any games at all this season, but I will be going next Friday, actually. So that'll be cool. In that game, that'll be Steven Brault against Josiah Gray. That's listed right now. You never know what's going to happen in a week's time. So that's the schedule. And then after Washington, early next week. They play Cincinnati, and that's bound to be a nightmare, as Cincinnati has destroyed the Pirates all season long. I will say, I saw a tweet earlier this week, and it was pretty encouraging. It was a Baseball America tweet, and they pretty much tweeted out the best organizational records in baseball this season, and the Rays have the best organizational record. The Yankees are second. The Pirates actually have the third best organizational record in all of baseball. That is their MLB team, as well as all four full season minor league affiliate teams. So although the Pirates are, let me see here, 41 games under 500 at the major league level, they're still overall, as an organization, 233 and 180. So they're 53 games over 500 as an organization. So if my math is right, their minor league organizations are 94 games over 500. So, I mean, that's pretty solid. I will say, though, Sunday night, Greensboro lost 23-4. So that not too great there. But overall, as an organization, as minor league squads, the Pirates have been really great this season. And on the last podcast, me and Jake, we kind of talked about how, you know, how long is it really going to take for the Pirates to be competitive again at the major league level? And we know that we're waiting, and we're waiting for some of these players to come up and be really good. You know, O'Neill Cruz, Nick Gonzalez, Quinn Priester, even at AAA, I didn't really give them enough love, but Miguel Yajure, Tucapita Marcano, guys like that. Just there's talent all throughout the minor leagues, but at what point will they make it to the majors, and at what point will they start producing wins for the actual Pittsburgh Pirates? That's the question, and next year might be just as ugly as this year, but I mean, we'll see. But overall, though, it's good to see that the Pirates as an organization, Ben Sherrington has really done a good job at replenishing the farm system and adding talent, and at least at the minor league level, you're seeing wins and you're seeing production. You just hope that as these players start to trickle up to the major leagues, you hope to see that translate at this level. And that's the key. That's the hardest part, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. Just looking around here, I mentioned the Pirates are 48 and 89. Their win percentage is .350. They are 35 and a half games back of first place. And I believe it was on the last podcast that we mentioned that the Pirates are officially eliminated from playoff contention, which super sad. I was holding on to that sliver of hope that they could win 45 straight games and get into the postseason, but that's just not going to be the case. We'll see, though. I mean, I guess we could talk about some good things. Yoshi Susugo, he's been really great for the Pirates. All he does is hit home runs, and his overall numbers this season are still really bad because the thing is, he only had 31 plate appearances with the Dodgers, and he also had 87 plate appearances with the Tampa Bay Rays this season. He was absolutely garbage for both of those teams. Didn't hit above 200 for either team. Didn't get on base above 300 for either team. Didn't even slug above 250 for either of those teams. He was absolutely awful. But with the Pirates, he has 7 home runs, and his slugging percentage is above 900. And he's really been great. in the, let me see how many plate appearances he has with the old Buccos. 49 plate appearances, 7 home runs. So, I mean, at that pace, 7 home runs every 50 plate appearances or so, that's what? Let's say you get 600 plate appearances over the season. That's about a full season's worth of at-bats. He'd be on pace to hit about 84 home runs. So that would be a record. Obviously, that's not going to be the case, and he's going to slow down for the Pirates. But there's a decision to be made for whether the Pirates re-sign him next or this upcoming offseason, because he is going to be a free agent. And, you know, we'll see with the CBA. Does the NL get a DH? Do they strike? We'll see. But bringing back Yoshi would actually be pretty nice. He's 29 years old, so it's not like he's not going to be a part of the long-term success of the Pirates, but bringing him back next year, I think, would be a pretty good idea. And he's been really fun with the Pirates. He's been adding some juice to the squad over the past few weeks that he's been here, and it's just fun to watch him hit home runs. Also, Brian Reynolds, I mean, can't say enough about the guy. He has been by far and away the Pirates' best player this season, and he will be getting MVP votes. He's not going to get first place votes. I think that would be pretty crazy, especially when Fernando Tatis Jr. plays in the same league as he does. But I mean, overall this season, his F4 is above 4. Mentioned it, hitting above 300, slugging above 500. He's just been really great. The 22 home runs now on the season. He's probably going to end the year, I would guess, with at least 25. Maybe he gets hot and gets near 30 or so. But could also get 100 RBIs as well. I mean, 100 RBIs, say what you want. It's not really like a stat to judge whether or not someone's good. But getting 100 RBIs is an accomplishment. It's a pretty cool accomplishment, if you ask me. Brian Reynolds has really been great. And we'll see. We'll see what happens if the Pirates try to extend him at some point. Maybe this winter they try to get some extension talks going. But he really has. He really has been that good this season, and it's pretty solid that he is a Pirate. Honestly, if the Pirates did not have Brian Reynolds this season, they would be that much worse. They would be terribly terrible. They would be borderline unwatchable. I mean, they're borderline unwatchable now, but without Brian Reynolds, holy shit, they would be just the absolute worst. But Brian Reynolds, good for him. I'm glad to be able to watch him play baseball. Some other positives on this team. Cabrian Hayes is back, so that's good. He returned, let me see, Sunday was his first game back. I'm just double-checking that. Yeah, Sunday was his first game back, and it's good to see him back. Obviously, like Reynolds, he's a part of that core. He's a part of that future, so it's good to see him back. Yeah, that's about it, though. I mean, Colin Moran is fine. Jacob Stallings is good as a catcher, but it's nothing really to, like, you know, freak out about. He's good. He's solid. Moran is very Colin Moran-y, totally average. For a first baseman, he's probably well below average as a hitter, but he's whatever. Ben Gamel, he's kind of shown some life. Perhaps he's a guy too that is on the squad next year, and he's probably your opening day left fielder 2022, which is fine, I guess. I'm just looking here. Cole Tucker, he got some reps this weekend, and he was pretty much terrible, I guess you could say. 0-for-5 Thursday, 1-for-4 Friday, 1-for-5 Saturday.
And on Sunday, he was 0-for-2, but he did walk twice. So that's pretty solid. In total, he struck out, let's see, 1, 3, 4. Struck out 7 times this series. Not very good at all. But he did show some positional flexibility. Played some shortstop. Played some center field. So, I don't know. He is what he is. He needs to hit better. Like, that's all you need to know. Hoy Park continues to struggle. Not great. Will Crow, he's pretty terrible. Will Crow on the season now has a 5.94 ERA, which not good, not good at all. The bullpen was just a complete disaster this weekend. You look at the bullpen ERAs, you just see 5s and 6s and 7s and 8s and 9s all up and down the units. It's pretty sad to watch, but we'll see. We'll see what happens down the stretch. I still hold hope that the Pirates will be able to win some of these games against these subpar-ish teams starting tomorrow. We'll see. We'll see what they can do tomorrow afternoon. They play at 1:35. I went over the matchups earlier, but yeah, we'll see what happens. I will be back Wednesday, and Jake probably should be back Wednesday as well. We will be recapping this Detroit series and talking in general about the Pirates, and perhaps then they will have won some games and it won't be as quite as sad as the past few episodes have been. Because when this team loses so many straight games, I mean, what is there really to talk about? It's not a lot besides negative, negative, negative. So we'll see what happens. Follow me on Twitter at Nathan_Hirsch, H-U-R-S-H. Follow Bucks Dugout on Twitter at Bucks Dugout. And like I said, we'll be back Wednesday recapping the Tigers, Pirates, and here's the hoping we see some wins, but that cannot be promised at all. So we'll see what happens. Everyone have a great rest of your day, and peace out.